Hello and welcome. Oh, hold on. Something happened. All right. Well, while I work on that, hello, my name is Michael. We are here for Detention Live. Joining me as always is my co-host, Chris. Chris, say hello to everyone.
Hello, everyone. All right. Well, I hope everybody's doing good. Tonight, joining us, we have Justin. Justin, please introduce yourself and tell us what show you're with.
Yeah. So my name is Justin Lewis, and I'm with Session Zero Studios, which is sort of like, I guess, the name behind our show, How to Be a Better DM, and also our actual play show, The Pact and Boon. Most of the time, I spend most of my time doing How to Be a Better DM, so that's probably what I'll talk about today.
Okay. Awesome. Right. And how long have you guys been doing that?
So I've been doing How to Be a Better DM for a little over 3 years now, and just loving every minute of it. You know, ups and downs and all arounds, but overall, an amazing experience.
Awesome. Did you get it figured out?
Yes. I got everything lined up. I don't know what happened, of course. But we are live. People can see us in here. Scurvy Knave has said hello. So welcome to the show. So welcome, Justin. And so again, my apologies that right off the bat, things went sideways. But it's been a while since we've done this. But if anyone's new here, basically this is our sort of loose format TTRPG talk show. We're going to go through some stuff we've been in recently, talk a little bit about Justin and his podcast, maybe give some advice somewhere in the middle, and then wrap up with our Q&A. So if you're here, thank you for being here. But we're going to kick things off as we always do with extracurricular. So this is just where you just talk about really whatever's going on recently you want to talk about, TV shows you're watching, movies, video games, top of mind. Chris, I'll start with you, buddy. What you been up to lately?
I found a new one.
Okay.
Called Agents of Mysteries. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It is a Korean reality show where they bring in six celebrities who are sent to go solve mysteries around the world.
Okay.
And the dedication that these actors that they've hired have to it and these celebrities has got me so entertained. Like, it is so cheesy. Like, they're put around a table. They're told, you're now the agents of mystery, and we have a teleporter that's going to send you to different places, and you're going to solve these mysteries. But basically, they get in an elevator. They go down a different floor in this warehouse. They have stages set up, and it's basically just kind of like giant escape rooms.
Okay.
They have to figure out clues in one, which leads them to another, which then leads them to whatever mystery that they're trying to solve. So I like how they're trying to do the mysteries. I'm super entertained when they are trying to sneak past a bunch of people. And you can see every now and then one of the actors kind of start to turn, but then remind themselves they're not supposed to. So you can just, again, that dedication to we're this cultist and we're supposed to be chanting, and they don't turn around, even though, you know, somebody just dropped something behind them. And I'm just so entertained and I just laugh. And my wife just looks at me and goes, oh, this is such a, but they're so invested in it. And like, they have little things that'll jump out and you watch these, you know, the stars of the show, like jump and hide underneath things. And it's like, you know, you're not going to get hurt. Like, but just how dedicated they are.
You got to commit to the bit.
Yeah. It's like the second or third quote reality show I've seen from Korea that I'm falling in love with. Like I said, The Devil's Plan was the first one where they just did board games instead of actual like reality show stuff. And there was no drama because every time somebody won, they just went, hey, I'm sorry for winning. And the other person went, no, you deserved it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like in America, I'd be screaming, you cheated me. Yeah. And you'd be screaming, no.
It's like the Great British Bake Off of board games. Like everybody's pleasant and kind, cooperative. Like, yeah, I could get behind that.
Yeah. So it just entertains me. That's the newest one I'm on. Of course, I'm watching Acolyte. Mixed feelings. I don't mind the story. I just was expecting like this truly dark, like you're finding a Sith acolyte. Like, can I finally see some Sith training? Can I finally see, you know, you're dedicated to killing the Jedi, not you're going to be redeemed at the end. I'm like, no, I wanted this. Like, the Jedi have no choice but to off this acolyte or something. But they're still doing enough with the story that I'm entertained. But someday Disney will make a dark story for me.
Someday.
Yeah. But other than that, just work for me, as usual. I work a lot. And just doing some stuff around the house with the wife. Now that Quentin is off doing his ROTC stuff, we have the house to ourselves for the summer for a couple more weeks. When he comes back, I'll have to wear pants again.
Well, you don't have to, but
he prefers it.
I can see why. Cool. Well, thank you for sharing. As always, I appreciate it. Justin, you're a guest tonight. Tell us a little bit about what you've been up to.
Yeah. So I think one thing that I'm kind of been nerding out a little bit over is a show on Netflix called Delicious in Dungeon. It's an anime. As far as animes go, it's not, well, I mean, it's not the best, but it's cute. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly it has this like deep plot and you're like, whoa, like I didn't realize we were going to get heavy, you know, like, you know, it's a really good show. And obviously it's connected to D&D. I'm also kind of rediscovering Magic the Gathering. You know, I played it about like 10 years ago.
I'm recovering myself.
But a friend of mine, he's like, oh yeah, all my workmates, you know, we played Magic the Gathering. And so let's play. And I was like, I don't know, like it's kind of a rich man's game. and you know, he has five decks, so I'll play with him.
Right.
And good fun. So.
Nice. Yeah. I have bought and sold two collections of Magic the Gathering. So I'm currently, I have six starter decks. Like I bought three different starter sets, each comes with two decks, and I just played those with my kids against each other. So I don't buy individual packs, I don't buy individual cards, I don't even sleeve these cards, which Chris might actually probably thinks I've been replaced by an alien. So it is just very much we play these, that's it, end of story, because yeah, way too much money anyway. Anything else you'd like to share with us? Feel free, you don't have to, of course, just want to give you the opportunity.
No, I mean, you know, just loving the summer weather. My wife's getting into pottery, so part of my time is helping her do that, which is nice. But, you know.
You can reenact Ghost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm the one doing the pottery, and she's the ghost because she actually knows what she's doing.
But, so she's big spoon, you're little spoon. Okay, I like it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm always little spoon. Just because, no. Anyways, I won't go to that. Maybe on a different show. But.
This is detention. This is like a after-hour show. But fair enough. First time here, I don't want to put you in that compromising of a position. Maybe next time.
I'll share my secrets next time.
Perfect. So as for myself, I did just get back from Origins. Origins is a sort of a mid-tier. It's probably bigger than mid-tier, but compared to Gen Con, it's mid-tier. It's like 20,000 roughly folks. I think this year is like 17,000. Goes to Columbus, Ohio. It's 5 days of gaming. So Gen Con is the best 4 days in gaming. Origins, like, hold our beer. We'll go 5 days. And it's not that. It's like 4 hours from me. When I lived in Cincinnati, it was like an hour and a half away. But I went every year for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And then we have a family vacation that happens every year in June. And it just kept overlapping. I think there were like 3 or 4, maybe even 5 years in a row where just every year it overlapped. So I couldn't go. And then last year it kind of unsunk, dissynced. I don't know, whatever. I went last year, went again this year, went the full 5 days. I had just an absolutely wonderful time. It was back to back gaming. That's literally all I did was game, food, sleep, game, food, back and forth. So I'm going to be breaking down all the different games, lessons learned, what I loved, what could have been better in a future podcast episode. I am also on TikTok now. I don't know if I've even been on here since I've done that. I joined TikTok a few months ago. You can find me. It's MKR_2222 or just at the RPG Academy. And I've been doing some videos there and talking about my experiences. But it was absolutely a ton of fun, good things and some bad things, that lessons learned. TV-wise, I am hey, Cthulhu's here. Hey. Ralph, nice to see you again. I'm watching The Boys. I absolutely love The Boys. Just it's so grotesque and over the top, but I'm into it. I think Anthony Starr is a star. Like, he's just incredible. Carl Urban also. Everyone in the show is just amazing. So if you're into that, and I know not everyone is, but if you're into that, it is an incredibly good, well-done, powerful show. And I'm still watching Smallville because I'm still doing that podcast as well. Justin kind of mentioned it because I guess it has been a while since we've done a detention. I did renew my contract. I am back working at the school for next year. I'm very excited about that. I have the summer off. So for like the next, basically all of June, I'm off. And then I have like half of July and then I'll go back and start working at the school again. But definitely good times. So Ralph Cthulhu has mentioned that they're going to be at the working at WK. Is that, it's not Warhammer. WizKids, that's what it is. I was like, I know where you work. WizKids booth at Gen Con. I will say maybe, because I had like three different people I promised I would see them at the Origins exhibit hall, and I never got there enough to actually find most of them. So I don't want to promise, but if I walk the dealer hall and I see you, I will absolutely say hello. Ralph ran an Eberron game for me and some people for a little while. I think we were even streaming it. It might have been live stream for a while. It kind of fell apart because that's what happens to campaigns. But I love Eberron. It was fun, so thank you for doing that. So we're going to do our first of our improv games. This is how we break up each of the segments. We do some improv poorly, and our first game is what we call 10 Things. The idea here is that we will take turns prompting one another in turn. You'll get a prompt of what your 10 things should be. Your job is to then come up with a list of 10 things that matches the prompt as quickly as possible. For the purposes of the game, immediacy is better than accuracy, so coming up with a list quickly is technically better than taking a long time and coming up with 10 things that actually make a whole hell of a lot of sense. So Justin, you are the guest, so you get choice. Do you want to go first in terms of prompting Chris or I, or go first in terms of one of us prompting you to start the little circle there? So what would you prefer, sir?
I think I will prompt first.
Okay.
Who wants to go least? Because I'll probably pick you.
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right, Chris, how about you?
All right. Fire away.
10 reasons why your party would choose to work with their nemesis.
Ooh, money.
Money.
Fame. It's a way to screw over a different nemesis.
3.
Magic items.
4.
Big party afterwards.
5.
Free food.
6.
Snazzy clothes.
7.
Maybe they're a good uniform. Let's see. That's a good one. It gets them to another plane.
8.
And maybe they're high school sweethearts there and they're trying to impress her again.
Ooh, 9.
Ooh, and maybe it's the only way to save the princess.
10. Ooh, that was in fact a list of 10 things. Very good, sir. Very good. All right.
I love the last one.
So the way that will work is you will then prompt me, sir.
All right. I will, since you just got back from Origin, how about give me 10 things you see at conventions?
Cosplay.
1.
Board games.
2.
3D printed stuff everywhere.
3.
Dice boutique. Every third vendor was dice.
4.
Sweaty people.
5.
Happy people.
6.
Kids.
7.
Despair.
8.
Triumph.
9.
Games I want to buy.
10.
It was, in fact, a list of 10 things. All right. So I have a quick question for you, Justin. Your show, is it primarily about D&D or do you cover multiple games?
It is primarily about D&D. I have played other games, but we focus primarily on D&D.
Okay. But you have some experience with a wider selection of games.
Yes.
Okay. Give me 10 different non-D&D RPGs.
Oh, this is going to be very difficult for me. Well, first of all, do you count like video games as RPGs?
Sure.
Okay. Well, first of all, Mysteries Unknown.
1.
Genesis.
2.
And
2.
Would Genesis be different than like Edge of the Empire or that?
It's your list. It can make as much or as little sense as you want.
Edge of the Empire.
Okay. 3.
There's the Mistborn RPG.
4.
The new Stormlight Archive RPG coming out.
5.
I think there's one called Fate.
6.
Jeez, this is tough. I guess technically would Zombicide?
7.
Shoot. I don't want to go video games, but Breath of the Wild.
8.
Elden Ring.
9.
I got to think of one that's not a board or not a video game. Gosh, what is it? Oh, Call of Cthulhu.
10. That was, in fact, a list of 10 things. Awesome. Thank you very much. Sorry, I wasn't trying to make it super hard, but I thought that would give me a good idea to kind of figure out like what sort of games and your headspace.
Absolutely.
All right. So we're going to move into used books. And this is the section of the show that a lot of times we kind of will look at a game or a campaign that one of us has played or ran in. And we're kind of like deep diving, looking for lessons learned, things that went well that we would want to try to replicate or things that went terrible that we're going to avoid. But tonight, since we have Justin here as a guest, we actually want to take a little time to talk about him and the podcast that he's a part of. So tell me a little bit about How to Be a Better DM. Give me the quick pitch. What kind of things could I expect to listen and hear there? Any sort of favorite episodes you might want to send people to? I know you have some co-hosts that weren't able to join us. If you want to kind of talk about them a little bit, just give us the pitch, sir.
Absolutely. so I originally started the podcast because I had started a previous podcast, as most podcasters have done. We've all had other shows, and that show was it was a good experience. It was about personal development, but I didn't really see it growing. It was really hard, and I realized that it wasn't talking about something specific. Mm-hmm. Around that same time, I was, you know, starting as a dungeon master myself, and I've always found that the best way to learn something is by trying to teach it or trying to help other people do better than you, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that's really where the podcast started. I realized that I could talk about something very specific, but also something that was applicable to me. And then I brought on my co-hosts because one of them was one of my players, and he's always been a big fan of fantasy. And I really just like the way his brain thinks. The other one, we were in a writing group in college together. And, you know, we worked at Papa Murphy's together when we were younger, and just shared a love of Star Wars and everything.
Just to interject, I love Papa Murphy's. When I lived in Cincinnati, I loved their food. That's a take and bake place, right?
Yeah.
And all of them around me closed. I haven't had it in years, but it's so good.
Yeah, I freaking love Papa Murphy's. And honestly, working there, it was nice because all of their veggies are freshly cut every day. Their dough is made like fresh, it's every day. Just like really good ingredients generally, like as far as, you know, fast casually. But anyways, so the podcast it's all about helping dungeon masters get better without spending extra time, extra money if you don't want to, and just extra hassle, right? So really cutting the learning curve without doing all those crazy and you know, outlandish things. I guess one deep philosophy that I have is at its root, all you need to play D&D or any RPG for that matter is a group of people or at least someone besides from yourself, because it's kind of hard to play with just yourself. A set of rules that everyone agrees to and some way of deciding those rules, right? Dice or tools that come with different RPGs and a story, right? That's really all you need. And I try and take that into the tips that I give, the advice that I give and things like that. And you know, listening, you can hear tips and we also do interviews as well. Some of my favorite interviews, I actually interviewed, Victor Bavine, who did the voice of Drizzt Do'Urden in, you know, R.I. Salvatore's audiobooks of, you know, Drizzt Do'Urden. Yeah. You know, and I grew up listening to those books. And so talking to him was pretty cool. We also talked to like a real life blacksmith, which was pretty interesting. He was a dungeon master himself, and he was pretty hard as far as dungeon masters go. He's the kind of dungeon master or game master that, you know, he tracks encumbrance. He makes you like track how many arrows you have. You can't pick up arrows because once you shoot them, they're basically destroyed. Yeah. You know, he was super realistic. So
hard mode, basically.
Yeah. He talked about how his previous campaign ended and they were moving to a new DM because they kind of switch in his group. And one of the players, like in his inventory, he had gotten a wagon. He had gotten like a table. He had gotten all this like practical stuff. And it was because in his previous campaign, it was just like so realistic that stuff mattered. And it was just really funny how, you know, one DM can change you like that. So
apparently there's a Papa Murphy's in Dayton, which is where our convention is. So Raph was telling me about that.
Oh, yeah. Papa Murphy's anywhere is good. So especially at conventions, you know, much better than very expensive convention food.
Yeah, I think unfortunately I don't live there, so I wouldn't have an oven. So, but I'll buy it and just drive it home. I'll get like 10 of them.
Worth it.
Freeze it. So is there like as someone who's done a show for literally years where it was very kind of similar, like we're trying to you know, help people become better DMs or get started DMing. Is there a structure to your show? Do you have segments? Is every episode different? Like, so just kind of give me like an idea of like what I'm going to, I just randomly tune into an episode, what am I going to get versus if I listen to every episode?
Yeah. So our structure is pretty simple, right? Every episode, we try and keep it really short because obviously people have limited time, but we really try and cover one topic, right? And that's what we're going to do on that show. We're going to give you, you know, all the points of that specific topic. So for example, tomorrow tomorrow our episode is coming out. I did an interview with a improv comedian from a comedy club nearby. And we really just talked about you know, how to instill improv into your game better and how to kind of let go of the reins as a dungeon master and relax a little bit. You know, and honestly, I think the best place for someone to start to get the sense is really just episode one, where I talk about eight reasons, or not eight reasons, but eight tips to make your one shots better. Cause I'm a big fan of one shots. Mm-hmm. I think every player actually should DM or GM one shots at least once, just honestly, to give your dungeon master or game master a break, because they need it. Yeah. We all know that. Mm-hmm. But also, you need to like sit in the chair.
I mean, I think it definitely would give an appreciation for what game mastering is. And like, worst case scenario, you hate it and you're like, oh, this is harder than I thought. I will give a little more grace to the people who are running games for me. Best case scenario, you love it and you become a forever GM too, because it's a lot of fun. Like, I love playing, don't get me wrong, but I enjoy GMing more than I enjoy playing. Like, if I had to choose one or the other forever, I would choose GM. Though I'm, as in my old age, it's more like 60-40 rather than 90-10 like it used to be. But yeah, absolutely. I also think that people should jump across the screen when they can. Chris, I feel free to jump in here anytime you have questions, mm-hmm. comments, concerns.
I would love to see more players jump in as GMs. I still think the biggest obstacle people have is just the self-confidence. Mm. They're like, ooh, I got to be on the other side. You know, I struggle to keep one character straight in my head. Now I got to take care of all these NPCs. And I'm like, no, you don't. You have one at a time. You're not going to be role-playing five NPCs at one time. I can't. I might, maybe, shoot, I struggle sometimes on Redemption to keep track of the two PCs I'm playing and the NPC in the scene. And usually one of them just sits in the corner and doesn't say anything. So I think it's really just a confidence thing. And I hope your show can give people more of that confidence and get them to try it. And try an easy game and try first level. I mean, how hard is it to GM first level? Here's some goblins. Go kill them. You know, it's not that tough. Saying the guy who's GM for over 30 years. Yeah. Some old.
Or you could try a GMless game. Action 12 mm-hmm. Cinema anyway. Yeah. You know, it's a great baby steps into the hobby. Sorry, Justin, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you wouldn't have GM'd for 30 years if you hadn't GM'd once, right? Like, it takes the first time, and you never know unless you do it. As far as the confidence goes, it's interesting you say that, because, you know, in talking to the people who've reached out about our show, and I'm guessing you guys have seen the same thing with faculty. That's the name of the show, right?
So it's Faculty Meetings is our faculty meetings. Game advice. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm guessing you've seen the same thing with faculty meetings of like new dungeon masters or game masters or prospective. Like, they're just so nervous to try the first one. And I wish I could just like reach through the screen or whatever and just grab them and shake them and be like, dude, it's just a game. Like, it's not the end of the world.
I mean, I think that is where there's this weird sort of like dichotomy between, because again, I still get anxious. I've been running games for over 30 years. I say that like the first 25 years, I was pretty bad at it, but I've gotten pretty good in the last 12, right? I'm better now than I was. But even so, right before every single game, I get nervous. And there's a part of me that's like, man, I hope no one shows up. I hope everybody cancels. Should I cancel? Am I not feeling good? Like, I still go through that anxiety. But once I start playing, like once we sit down, I'm like, okay. And just, you know, I kind of go into autopilot for a minute. And then once the game is going on, I'm fine. But right up until that moment, I'm still very, very nervous. So I totally get the anxiety that people will have. But I think it's the same thing. Like, if they actually do it, yeah, you can get better. Yes, there's things that you will do wrong, but we all still do. But it's actually not that hard. Like, it really isn't. It can be, but it really doesn't have to be. Like, to Chris's point, like a low-level adventure, you need one NPC, you need one location, and you need one thing for them to do. That's all you need for your first game. And then just sort of like go with it. And then before next game, you need the next location, the next NPC, and the next thing that they do. And, you know, it doesn't have to be a 12-hour streaming session like some of these actual plays. Like, I run convention games that are 2 and 3 hours. They're a ton of fun. And then you're out. It's like a movie. It doesn't have to be 7 hours long.
Yeah. I think what you just said there about streams and actual plays, like, I love actual plays. You know, I do an actual play. But I think we need to stop comparing ourselves to actual plays. Like, if you can only do 1 hour a week or even like a month, and that's good for you, Like, that's exactly what you should do if that's what you can handle, you know, if that's what you want to handle.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it.
Sure. And definitely don't compare yourself to like a Matt Mercer who can do 5,000 different voices and keep track of all of them. I've said it many, many times. I think I have maybe 3 voices and none of them are good. Most of them are just a variation of this, or just higher or deeper. Yep. I can't do accents very well because of my speech impediment and some other stuff. So I tell everybody, as long as you capture the feel of the character, you don't have to put a Scottish accent on every dwarf.
Yeah.
Just be a dwarf or what you want that character to be and just have fun with it. I mean, almost every GM I've ever had couldn't do voices well and we never cared.
I mean, I've
described him and go.
Right. Yeah. I've played a few games with people who can do voices and it is great. It truly is. It is a tool in the toolbox that they have that I do not. But to Chris's point, and we've talked about this before, there are other ways to embody an NPC. You can do mannerisms. You can do your speech pattern, how loud, how soft, how fast, how slow. You know, you can, again, like steeple the fingers, you can stand up. Like there's all these different ways that you can embody an NPC beyond just what they sound like. That if that's something you can't do, that doesn't mean you can't have interesting, invocative, intriguing NPCs. It just means you have to do something else. I've talked a lot about like combat. You know, I'm a big theater of the mind person. I know other people like maps and minis. Some people like the big 3D terrain. Each has their advantages and their drawbacks. Whichever way you do, you just need to get good at that. So if you can't do voices, get good at the other stuff. And that doesn't mean you have to be good day one, but it's something you develop over time.
Mm-hmm. And actually, I mean, I might push back a little bit, but I would say what you mentioned, Michael, is even more important than being able to do the accents, right? Being able to inflect your voice, add emotion. You know, that's the actual role-playing behind the voice. But also to your point, Chris, it's funny because, you know, back to our episode with Victor Bavine, I asked him, actually, I don't remember what I asked him, but I noticed how his narration and his drizzed voice was so similar to his normal voice. And he said, when you're narrating audiobooks, you want to pick like the character who's going to talk the most and make their voice your voice because you can keep it, you can handle it. And so I think as dungeon masters, you know, if you have an NPC that's sticking around for a while, don't do a voice, just do your voice because it's going to be easier and it's going to be more lifelike, you know?
Now that makes a lot of sense. I will say, again, as another tip, and I've mentioned this before, that whether you're doing a podcast or not, I think it's valuable to record yourself when you do your sessions. One of the things that has made me a much better GM is editing our actual plays. Like, I don't really do a lot of them now, but I used to when we first started. And I could go back and listen to me running, and I would hear where people lost. Like they didn't know what's going on. They had to ask a bunch of questions. I could hear when people were just on the edge of their seat and they were so excited to do their thing. And I could go, okay, what was I doing when that happened? And what was I doing when this happened? But also for like creating NPCs on the fly or using voices, you can go, oh, that's the voice I use. Oh, that's the name I came up with in the middle of the adventure. So it's just, it's kind of a shorthand to take notes, but then it requires that you go back and listen to it. So it's, again, whichever way you want to go, utilize it. But I have found that recording myself and listening to myself has been very valuable.
That's really interesting. I like that because, I mean, just recording yourself in case there's like a player missing or something like that. I've tried that before, but it wasn't studio level quality.
Sure.
I wish there was some sort of solution for RPG players where it's like, yeah, record every session, you know, store it here or whatever, just so you can go back and re-listen to it and have your own actual play if you want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is. It's just money. microphones. Or if you do, if you're virtual, true. Zoom will do that. But, again, also Zoom costs money. It's like $20 a month now at this point, but it'll do that. But again, sorry, I feel like I've jumped over you. So, yeah, tell me more about your show. Any other exciting guests? Is there a specific episode other than the first episode, obviously? So I guess I'll kind of roll that back. And then what are some of like the pieces of advice that you think are most important for someone who's like, I'm thinking about DMing, but I've never done it before. Mm-hmm. I'm nervous. You've already mentioned a couple, but what are some other like pieces of advice that you've gotten or received that you'd like to share?
Yeah. Yeah. So I would say the first piece of advice that I would give to prospective dungeon masters is avoid the shiny object, right? And focus on fundamentals. So we see all the actual plays, we see Instagram, we see YouTube or whatever, and commercially, we're being fed all these images or these audios of things we need to buy, invest in, do, create, right, whatever. But when you're just starting out, focus on your storytelling skills and the ability to create conflict that is meaningful and engaging and captivating, right? That pulls your players in. Because if, you know, you mentioned theater of the mind, right? If you play a game that's theater of the mind, but you don't have any of those flashy stuff, but you have an amazing story, no one's going to care. But if you flip that, right, you have all the cool minis, you have this amazing terrain, like the lights that change color, candles that smell like dungeon, but your evil wizard is named Boo Boo and he stole someone's pie, right? I mean, maybe that could be a fun game, yeah. But I don't know. Like,
it depends what you're there for. But I get your meaning. Like, yeah. If you're there for like epic heroic fantasy, and yeah. The story is flat, all those accoutrements don't really matter.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes back to what I said. Like, role playing is just, it's a collaborative storytelling experience, and everything else is just details.
Okay. Chris, anything to get there?
It kind of what you're saying. I'm going to try to use the right words and this may come out wrong, but this is just my brain went right here. If you really have a good group and you're telling a story, well, it's almost I can't think of another word other than kind of an intimate moment, but it's not,
No, you're right.
Yeah.
It's meaningful. As far as you're making a connection with those players and the people around the table. And that's where I tell people, make that connection, have some sort of emotional impact with your players positively. Don't be that guy that's a jerk and makes them all cry. And celebrate with them when they have victories. I think that's the big thing I tell people as a new GM. And don't go out there and look to just do a TPK because nobody likes that. It's not that much fun because then people are upset and then you have to start over.
Yeah.
I think I've seen some people online. And I know some of this is like performative, like any other social media, TikTok, which I'm on now a lot, there's some performative nature to it. But people talking about, you know, getting their players to cry and how that was a big moment for them as a DM. Like the first time I made a player cry, you know, it not solidified it. Like, what's the word I'm looking for?
Reinforced, maybe?
And it's like it made them feel like they had accomplished something. Like it gave them like the confidence that they had done a good job. And I don't disagree with that, but I don't think it has to be crying. I think crying is the result, not the symptom. It's caring. Get your players to care. And they can care in a way that makes them laugh. They can care in a way that makes them angry. And they can care in a way that makes them cry. But I think caring is what we go for. Crying is just one of the possible results of that caring when something happens that is sad. Because if no one cares, I think there's something. And again, you can play the beer and pretzels game where you just show up, you're just there to kill goblins, take their stuff, get better gear, and do it again. That is a totally legit way to play. It's not my preferred method of play, but it's totally legit. If that's what you like, I'm glad it's there for you. So you don't have to have that same level of investment. But for me, I want my players to care about each other's characters, care about the NPCs, care about the world that we are creating together. And once I have that hook of care, I can do all kinds of fun stuff with it.
No, you're absolutely right. Go ahead.
One of my favorite things is to hear a player go, hold on. I need a moment to collect what just happened. I need to figure out what I really want to do. Because I love just throwing that moment where they're not overwhelmed, but they're so invested in it that they want to take a moment to think about the right thing to do. And I love those type of moments. And I mean, I've had moments, and Redemption's a great example of this, where myself, Michael, or Kaylee, I mean, the three of us are in very intense role-playing scenes and crying and or screaming at each other and then taking a moment to go, all right, everybody good? Just all in character, right?
Right, yeah.
And, yep. Cool. And then afterwards, we celebrate, like, you know, that was like we just won an Academy Award.
Yeah.
We haven't even won a podcast award, so. Yeah. Can't get the Academy Award yet, but my point is that we celebrated that moment, and that's what I like. I like seeing that moment of deep thought or real reflection. So like you said, caring, but I love watching the players just go, oh, what just happened?
Yeah. I think the only true way to win at an RPG is to get your players to come back, right? That's how you win. And actually, the episode that's coming out tomorrow, the one with the improv comedian, he said with improv, right, it's not so much about what you do on stage, because obviously the way their system functions, they're like two separate improv teams kind of competing. But okay, it's not what you do, but it's what happens on stage with everyone and what everyone does. Yeah. And, you know, when it comes to the table, actually, when he said that, it was kind of like this hammer to my brain of like, hey, you know, you need to remember this, that it's not the dungeon master's responsibility to make sure the game's amazing.
Right.
It's not any individual player. It's the table. Right.
Yep. Cthulhu says, to crush your gaming group, to see the player characters driven before you, to hear the lamentation of their players. That is what is best in life. So you kind of, so you have an actual play. Is that on the same feed, or is there a separate feed for the AP episodes?
So there's a separate feed. It's under the podcast, The Pact and Boone. You can find all of our stuff at sessionzerostudios.com.
Okay.
That's run by our dungeon master, Jake Packham. And, you know, he's doing an incredible job. The story starts out with us in hell. And it's interesting, to be honest, because I've been a dungeon master for so long that around the same time we released this actual play, I became a player on the actual play, and also my kind of my home campaign with my friends. One of them was like, hey, do you mind if I DM for the summer? So, you know, I transitioned from like forever DM to like not a DM at all. And it's kind of weird. Yeah. It's weird going back to a player. And I think even that is also a good experience for dungeon masters too. Kind of, you know, switch places with players, be a player and have them be the DM. I think that for one just makes everyone a little bit better at storytelling.
No, I again 100% agree. I also think going to conventions, if you are someone who has the ability, and I understand the privilege, it costs money, location depending on where you are to go to conventions. I find a lot of value in them. I also happen to run a convention. So if you're in Dayton, Ohio in November, come join us at a Catacon. But give us the quick pitch. Like, so someone, again, I'm sure there's people out there who's listening who are looking for new actual plays. Is it D&D? Mm-hmm. Quick overview. You mentioned hell, but like just give us like the elevator pitch for the AP.
Sure thing. So I'm going to give you a few spoilers, right?
Okay.
Just the first couple episodes. We're three guys in hell. We have the father, the hound, and the savior, I guess you could consider him. We meet in hell for various reasons. We were sent there, and we get picked up by what's called a broker, who is essentially someone looking for slaves or champions or meat, right? Mm-hmm. Depending on mm-hmm. what the broker is looking for. And the broker basically says, hey guys, I need you to go back to the material plane and investigate something that's literally changing the fabric of the world called the lethargy. And goodbye, I'm going to drop you from the sky because I can't go there. So now you're falling towards the material plane at terminal velocity. And that's like the first three episodes. So
nice. That's a pretty good pitch. And this is 5e?
Yes, 5e. Our dungeon master has some homebrew mechanics. He introduced one called Limit Break, which he did in our last two sessions. And I'm interested to see how it plays out. It's essentially, if your character does something like really interesting, you can roll on a table and it'll give them a boon, even to the point of, you know, rolling like a really high number and getting a full level up in that moment. So still new. We're still seeing how that works out. I have honestly some doubts, but it's been fun so far.
I mean, it's part of being a DM is we're all armchair game designers, so we like to tinker.
Yeah.
And sometimes we make it better and sometimes we make it worse, but that's all part of the process. So I can see the stream is starting to flip a little bit. I'm getting some red and yellow, so it's possible that it may be getting like staccato to the people who are listening.
Okay.
But again, the Zoom should be fine and our audio only will certainly be fine, so it'll still go out that way, but it's starting to get a little bit wonky. So Chris, any final thoughts? We will wrap things up here unless you have any further questions for Justin.
Yeah, just get in that chair, players.
Yep.
Have some fun being a DM. And DMs, when your player takes over as DM, don't be a jerk to them.
Yes.
Relax. If I purposely always say, great job at the end of it. Thank you for running. And I don't critique. If they ask questions, it's positive feedback on, well, here's what I liked. Here are some things I think that you did really well. Maybe a couple areas you could tweak a little bit, maybe this or that. just make it fun for them. Don't be a jerk.
Yeah, I spend more time on Reddit than I should. It's really bad for me. But I have seen multiple posts from people who say, someone in my group wants to be a DM. How can I F with them? Like, why would you want to do that? Don't be that person. Don't purposefully try to mess with your DM, whether it's their first time or their thousandth time. Try to be a good player and make it easier for them and everyone else at the table to have fun. Because I don't, it seems like it's a jerk behavior. Anyway, yeah, final time again, socials, where can people go to find you? Where can they go to find the podcast? One last time.
Yeah. So everything you can find at sessionzerostudios.com. Our social media is there. Everything's there. If you're looking for an episode and it's tomorrow, so the 27th of July or June, you can get our latest episode, which is about improv comedy and how it relates to D&D. Or you can get our first episode, which you just go to sessionzerostudios.com/captivate-podcast/4 tips for creating a one-shot. And the URL is somewhat misleading, but that's where you can find that.
And as always, I'll put links in the show notes to make it easy for people to get to places. So if you're listening to this and in the future and you're like, hey, that sounds cool, I'll put a link. Just go click it and I'll get you there. All right. So we're going to move into our second improv game. This is Where Have My Fingers Been? And this is a game where we will basically take turns once again prompting each other. The idea is to prompt a short scene that involves at least two people. And then we are going to finger puppet and kind of act out that scene. It's best if it has a beginning, middle, and end. I often leave one of those out because I think it's funny. Justin, again, you are the guest tonight. So would you like to go first in terms of prompting Chris or I, or would you like to go first and being prompted to give your scene?
Well, I think it's only fair that I go first in getting prompted.
Okay.
Since I went first the other one.
All right. Chris, do you have an idea for a prompt, or would you like me to do it?
I got an idea.
Okay. So, Justin, you do have to sing the song. We are contractually obligated. New York Tater will riot if we do not sing the song. So just again, first time here, basically the song goes, "Where have my fingers been?" I said, "Where have my fingers been?" So if you could sing that song, you will then get your prompt there.
Okay. Where have my fingers... Is there like a tune?
I can't carry one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Where have my fingers been? I said, "Where have my fingers been?" Perfect. That's harder than I thought.
Perfect.
Nailed it in one.
You're two people who have finally found the big red button.
What is it? It's big. Yeah, but what is it? It says button on it. Do you think I should push it? I don't know. I mean, it's been here this whole time and we're only now noticing it. Yeah, but like, it's a button. Shouldn't I push it? Are you kidding? It's a big red button. Like, oh my gosh, have we not seen this before? I think I'm gonna push it. Okay, just let me walk behind this chair and go ahead. Okay, I'm gonna do it. Okay, I'm gonna push it. Okay, I'm gonna push it. You said that. Nothing happened. Well, that was a waste. That's what I got.
Yay! And that's where your fingers have been. Yay!
That's where my fingers have been.
All right. So since Chris prompted you, you will prompt me, and then I will prompt Chris to wrap things up. So again, New York Tater must be obliged here. Where have my fingers been? I said, where have my fingers been?
Okay. So you are depicting a scene where someone has found a genie, but the genie is not quite the same as normal genies.
Okay. So you will be given 3 wishes. Cool. That's great. So it can be anything that I want. Well, there are a few stipulations, you know, classic, can't bring him back to life, can't make anybody fall in love with you, I can't actually create landmass, so, you know, no new nations, anything like that. Okay. What do you think I should wish for? You know, in all this time, no one has ever asked me that. That shows that you are wise. So you should not ask for wisdom. You should ask for money. I wish... Now let me think about it. Okay, dude, I got a place to be. Okay, I got to go back my lamp. Okay, okay. Oh, wait. Okay. What would you wish for? You already asked me that. I wish to set you free. Cool. You're dead. And that's where my fingers have been.
Yay.
Yay. All right. I think I switched places halfway through there.
You did.
Yeah, okay. Right. That's fair. Right. Chris.
All right. So where have my fingers been? I said, where have my fingers been?
Your fingers are two players fighting to be the next one who GMs the next campaign.
Ooh, good one. So I should GM. Well, no, I want to GM. Well, why should you GM? Because I'm better looking. That doesn't qualify you to be a better GM. I'm funnier. That's a matter of perspective. I'm taller. Well, still, that doesn't mean you're going to be a better GM. I'm more creative. It's my house. You win. And that's where my fingers are.
Yeah, that is always the veto power. It is the house. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you, Justin, for playing along. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So we're going to move into the last section of the show, and this is our audience Q&A. We do have a few people who are watching. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes we don't. There is a slight delay in the stream. So while we are waiting for any questions that might come in, one last time, we'll go around. So where can people find you on the internet, socials, plug, sir?
Yeah. Again, sessionzerostudios.com. If you're interested in our Instagram, you can go to @howtobeabetterDM. I do a lot of Dungeon Master pro tips, Dungeon Master rules, basically stuff specific to D&D. But again, sessionzerostudios.com. Also, real quick, where my finger's been, that is a lovely exercise. Where did you guys come up with that?
It's an actual improv like game. Like people who are professional improvers, sometimes they'll do things like that, like before shows to like, you know, kind of get everybody in the right mindset.
Yeah.
And I think it was Classic Scott who has some improv training who came up with that when we first started Detention like 10 years ago.
I love that. Yeah. That is so awesome.
He's actually good at it.
Yeah. It's not fair.
It's not fair. All right. Chris, again, where can people find you? Plug anything you'd like to, sir.
Just check me out on the Discord channel here at the RPG Academy. I don't do much other social media, cause I'm old and it drives me nuts. I don't like to go down the rabbit holes for hours and hours like I was. We did wrap up the Dragonlance game. So as soon as I get those all edited, we'll get them kicked out. And then we'll do the, recap that we were talking about, Redemption. Well, Smuggler's Blues now, the last month and a half, we keep having hiccups. One person keeps having something come up every Tuesday, so we are planning on getting back to it. It's just been I had to work late one time and then something else came up, and it's just been, you know, adulting, not as much fun as we want it to be. So otherwise, November I'll be at a Catacon. September I'll be at the faculty retreat. I don't think I have any other conventions or anything I'm going to between now and then. Other than that, just here with you every other Wednesday.
Yay.
When we can.
So as for myself, basically I'm actually on TikTok now. That's where I'm most active. I'm on Facebook. That's where I post everything. But on TikTok, again, if you search the RPG Academy, that should find me. But my actual account is MKR_2222. I really recently went to Origins. So there's going to be an Origins recap episode coming out. My game Action 12 Cinema is still for sale, both online and in some retail stores. I am going to Gen Con. I will be running one event. I'm hosting my sort of annual panel. I have Emma joining me this time, and it's basically how to start running games for D&D. It's absolutely introductory level advice. My job is not to make you the best game master you can be. My job is to get you to run your first game so that you can get to your best game. So we will be doing that 9 a.m. on Thursday. It's 80 tickets. I think we've sold half. It's free, but you have to buy a ticket. It's like half full. So there's like 40 spots still open if you want to come to that. And again, obviously a Catacon in November. That's the biggest thing I could promote right now. No questions have come in, but we do have one question we ask everybody. But if anyone's listening, you want to ask a question, you still have time. But while we're waiting, Justin, imagine that you are being turned into a action figure. I don't mean you're being polymorphed into one, but they're going to make a Justin action figure. What are the three accessories that will come with your figure?
Ooh, three accessories. I think this is going to sound super, I was just about to say, this is going to sound nerdy. I think a 3D printer would come with my action figure. I love 3D printing when I have filament or resin. So a 3D printer, bonus points if it actually like spits out a little. It would probably be like Play-Doh that would come out of the 3D printer. Yeah. which would be fun. A microphone would probably be the second thing, naturally, just because, I do podcasting, things like that. Now the third one, that's a good question. Probably a death ray, just to kind of buck the stereotypes and just be like, oh, microphone, 3D printer, and a death ray. You know, why not?
Yeah. Why not? Exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. What about you guys? What was your answer?
Oh,
well, it's been a long time.
It changes over time, but it definitely would be a D12. Definitely probably a podcast. And then I think my MacBook is what I said originally, because I'd never leave home without that. Yeah. Now it would probably be ibuprofen. Just like a little travel bottle of ibuprofen, D12 and a microphone.
Figure,
yeah, yeah, it's like a Pez dispenser.
It is a Pez dispenser of ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen, yeah.
That could be fun.
An action figure for like adults.
It's got a knee brace, back brace.
Exactly.
I don't remember. It's been a while. I'd probably go with a backpack full of just little books and gaming stuff. Have to go with a nice car. Not a nice car. My car, because I drive a lot. My wife and I just go on vacations. So I'm just randomly, we'll just take off. So that'd be kind of nice to have. And probably a good way just to keep in contact with people, either an iPad or a cell phone or something like that. I do call people out and talk. I just don't like doing the social media.
Now, again, you're smart. You're smarter than the rest of us for that.
Absolutely.
I did just say, just quick last plug, I'm actually going to be on a show tomorrow with the Rook and Rasp in their Tome Travelers show, talking about the D12, because I mentioned D12, so it made me think of it. So if anyone is watching this live, you can actually see me again tomorrow, I think around like 8 or 9 p.m. I don't know. I'll figure it out later. But talking about the D12, which is objectively the best polyhedral. All right, Justin, buddy, thank you so much for being here. Had an absolute blast getting to know you, getting to chat with you. Likewise. I appreciate what you're trying to do. That is absolutely in line with what we have been trying to do here for a while, is just get people run their first game, fall in love with it. The more GMs, the better. Chris, as always, you know, you're my good friend. I love you as a person, I can't wait to hang out with you in September. So I think we've already done the plugs like 3 times, so I don't think we need to do that again. So just, Chris, any final goodbyes?
No goodbyes. Just see you next time.
Perfect. Justin, any final words?
Yeah. Just, you don't get to the best without doing the first, so you better do the first. But also, you know, don't take yourself too seriously, because that's a quick way to ibuprofen Pez dispensers.
Yeah. And of course, again, remember our motto here at the RPG Academy is, if you're having fun,
you're doing it right.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Bye.